In 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, let's read verse number 5 and ask God to really honor His Word. We started, Sunday week ago, we preached on Sunday morning about the examination of salvation. And then we didn't get to preach on that Sunday night. We had, seven or eight saved on that weekend. Six or seven of those, all but one got saved on that Sunday. And then last Sunday, I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night on the examination of salvation again. And then we want to try to deal with it as well this morning. Verse number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writing to a local church said, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." And again, Paul is asking and commanding them to examine and to prove and to know. Those are the three words you need to underline in that verse. Examine, prove, and know. Those are three words that are attached to salvation here. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Then he said, prove your own selves. And then he said, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. And I believe in light of verse number 5, I believe it's clear that you can know that you are saved and you can know that you are lost. I believe verse number 5 would not be here in this passage. We would not be instructed to do these things if there wasn't some results that could be obtained from the examination. In other words, Paul is saying that if you'll examine yourself, you will find things in your life, areas in your life, that will verify whether you've been saved or not. Examine yourself to look for things, discover things in your life that you know is a definite proof that you're saved. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And of course, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, all three of these words, examine, prove, and know, is attached to a personal emphasis. Examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. And then, know you not your own selves. Nobody on this planet's going to know for sure, definitely, whether you're saved or not. Only you're going to know that. Amen. You and God is the one that needs to know that. God does know, and you need to find out what God knows. Amen. If God knows you're not saved, then you need to side with Him in His knowledge. Amen. But anyway, we began to deal with this, and last week we dealt with the word prove. We dealt with the word examine, which had the idea of about three different ways you could look at it, or four. One, it had the idea of a scholastic examination, like a school class, being given an exam, being given a test to see whether you really know the facts and if you really know what the test is about. And I believe we can give ourselves a test, scriptural test, and see whether we're truly saved or not. But not only is it a scholastic examination, but it also means a medical examination. Just as you would go to the doctor having some problem, and you go to the doctor, and that doctor would perform an exam upon you, x-rays, blood work, whatever they have to do to find out if there's something going on inside you. So there is a scholastic examination, there is the medical examination, and there's the judicial examination, that of a court system, when the witness is being examined and even cross-examined to see if his story is right, see if he's telling the truth, see if what he says happened really did happen. And that's what God wants us to find out about this examination, is to see if He really did do a work in you, to see if there is evidence there, to see, my friend, if there's proof there and evidence there that will verify your profession of faith. So we talked about the word prove, which means to try, test, put it to the test and see if it works. Amen. A lot of people in Rogersville claiming to be saved, my friend, and all they need to see is their salvation evidently is not working because it left them in sin. It left the desire in them for sin. Amen. It didn't give them a desire to go to church. My friend, that ought to tell them their salvation didn't work. Salvation will change you. Salvation will give you new desires. Give you a new direction. Amen. Give you a new master. Give you new motives. Give you a new love. Give you a new life. Give you a new Lord. Give you new longings. Amen. Thank God for that. And a lot of these people just needs to come to the grips that little dime store prayer they prayed sometime in their life that did not introduce them to God, that did not, my friend, put them into the family of God, needs to be rejected. Profession that does not put the Spirit of God inside you is not real salvation. And but we looked at that, how that word prove meant and identified the money changers of ancient times. How that those money changers, their business was, when they would look at currency or to exchange money, they looked at it from every angle. They took and looked for details. They looked at it and weighed it out to make sure that it was genuine, that it was real, that it was not counterfeit. God is telling us here, as believers and even professing believers, He's telling us that you should give yourself a personal, detailed examination and prove that you're not a counterfeit. Amen. You ought to be able to prove either way that you're real or that you're not real as far as your salvation is concerned. But now he moves on and deals with a third aspect, and that is the word know. And we're going to focus on that a little while this morning and preach as the Lord would direct our heart about that. The word know. We talked about the requirements of this examination. We talked about the revealing of this examination, but now this word know talks about the realization of this examination. It ought to be real to you that you're saved. Yeah, amen. I believe it can be. I believe based on what the Bible says about the principle of faith in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, yeah. I believe that what He says in the Word about the Holy Spirit being the seal, being, my friend, the witness on the inside, it ought to be real to you that you are a child of God. It ought to be real to you. Amen. I mean, is it real to you that you're alive physically? Is it real to you that you had a physical birth? Sure it is. None of you came this morning questioning yourself, am I alive? Am I really here? Amen. None of you did. Why? It's real to you. It ought to be real to you that you're alive spiritually, that you've had a spiritual birth, that you're born again, that you're in the family of God. Amen. Everything associated with your salvation is real. Amen. Jesus and all that He did and His works was real. The Bible, the divine instrument that brought about that salvation is real.
Yes, it is.
Holy Spirit's real.
Yes,
sir. Brother, every bit of it's real. And salvation itself is real.
Yes, sir.
The experience is real.
Amen.
Is it real to you?
Amen.
Know ye not your own selves how that Christ Jesus is in you? Do you know that this morning?
Amen.
Do you know that? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Somebody said, and I like it, said that there's only one thing better than being saved, and that's being saved and knowing it. Amen. Oh, you can know that you're saved. Amen. But this word know in our text verse means to realize. To realize, to recognize, to acknowledge, or to perceive. That's what the word know there means. Now listen to this. This word know is in the indicative mood. Don't let that scare you. That just simply says, when Paul wrote down this word know, he's writing it down to identify a statement of fact, an action that really did occur. That's what it means. Amen. Know, realize, it'll be a statement of fact. When I say that I'm saved, that's not a hope-so, that's not a wish, that's not a might-be, or a wanna-be, or a could-be. But when I say I'm saved, that is a statement of fact that identifies an action that really did occur. Actually, if you go a little bit deeper with that, it doesn't just identify an action that really did occur, but it identifies an action that is occurring and will occur. See, I'm not just saved, I am being saved, and I shall be saved. See, you ought to know you're saved because there ought to be salvation in the past. There ought to be salvation in the present, and then there ought to be and will be a salvation in the future. Salvation in the past deals with the penalty of sin. When you got saved and God took the blood of Christ and judicially made you clean, judicially, my friend, declared you to be innocent and just. I was saved 26 years ago from the penalty of sin when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. I am being saved in the present from the dominion of sin. I got saved from the penalty of sin 26 years ago. That's a one-time event. I am being saved on a daily, moment-by-moment basis from the power of sin. And one day, I will be saved from the presence of sin. That is, Hebrews tells us that He's coming to get us. Amen. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. I know. It's a statement of fact. I was there when it happened. I am here and it is happening. And I will be there when it happens. Thank God. I have been saved. Now I'm going to heaven because of that event that took place in my life 26 years ago. That was my ticket. That was my entrance. That was my guarantee. That was my salvation from sin that takes me to heaven. I am being saved right now from myself. I am being saved right now from the dominion and control of sin in my life. And one day when Jesus comes, I will be saved from the presence of sin in that He is going to take me out of here, give me a new body. See, my body's not saved yet. And I just thought I'd let you know yours isn't either. Don't believe nobody that tells you and preaches to you sinless perfection or what we call the eradication of the flesh. That is, you get so saved that the flesh will never give you no more problems and you'll never be tempted anymore and you'll never sin anymore. It'd take a complete idiot to believe that. I'm telling you, a person that believes that believes in sinless perfection or the eradication of the flesh, I tell you, any man would say that. All I'd have to do is say, "Sir, let me talk to your wife." Yeah. or a parent that would say that. Or I'd say, let me talk to your children secretly and privately. I'll find out just how sinless you are. But I want you to know, I have been saved. I am being saved. It is a statement of fact. It is real to me. I realize it today.
Amen.
Boy, it ought to be realized that you're saved. Amen. Boy, I like that myself. Thank God. See, salvation, let me just throw this out there. Salvation includes your whole being. Body, soul, and spirit. That's right. Your body's not saved yet. That new man, that new nature is inside this body. And there's a warfare between the new man and the old man. The new me don't like what the old me used to be. And the old me don't like the new me. And there's a constant warfare going on inside of me between the old me and the new me. That's a good sign to know if you're saved or not. Is there a battle inside of you between the two natures? The flesh and the spirit. They're warring against each other. They're contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. But the realization of this examination, it ought to be real to you. Anyway, I looked up, I'm just curious. I that word know identifies a statement of fact. An accident really occurred. I wanted to know what a fact is. Are you saved this morning? Is that a fact? Or is it a feeling? Is it a fantasy? Or is it a fact? So I got Webster's 1828 dictionary out. And I began, and by the way, there's more scriptures in that dictionary than there are in a lot of these new Bibles that's out. In the 1828 dictionary, identifying a fact. If I'm saved and it's a fact, I want to know what a fact is. A fact is anything done or comes to pass and an effect, let me get it there, an effect produced, an effect produced, I like that. Anything done, anything that comes to pass is a fact. A real happening is a fact. An effect that has been produced is a fact. An event is a fact. Brother, when you get saved, it is an effect that is produced. It is an happening. It is an event. It is a real experience. Do you know that you're saved this morning? Let's turn back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. I'm interested in how this word know is used in the Word of God. And I find in Matthew chapter number 7 the first time that it's used in the New Testament. And boy, when we look here, we'll get to see something. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. And I want you to look at, I don't know if I'll read all of it or not, but let's look here in chapter number 7. Well, it actually starts up in verse 13. Well, it won't take just a moment to read it. Let's read it. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now here's a three-word statement that really is the context of this whole section of Scripture. Beware of thoughts. As we read this, what he's saying here is, beware of the false profession, or beware of the false path, the broad road. That leads to destruction. The broad road compared to the real narrow road. So beware of the false path. Amen. If you're on the false path, my friend, mark her down, you'll not wind up in the right place. You can't go in the wrong direction and wind up in the right place. All roads don't lead to Rome. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one salvation. Amen. And notice what he said, beware of false prophets. So he went from dealing with false paths, now he's starting to deal with false prophets. Those that claim to be real, but are not. Look what it said. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know, there's our word. Same word, identical word used in 2 Corinthians 13:5 about know you not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you. Here said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Jesus is saying, you can know them. Notice this. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree, go to underline this next word, cannot. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Notice this, our word again. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So if you take that passage there and put it beside of 2 Corinthians 13:5, he's telling us that we can know that we are saved by the fruits in our life. Just as we can identify the false prophets by the fruits in their life. Now the root is what makes the fruit. The root is out of sight. The root is underground. But we don't have to dig it up and doing an analysis of the root to find out what kind of tree it is. Because the tree, the root, is testified of by the fruit. How many's ever got an apple off of an apple tree and said, well, I don't believe that's an apple tree. I'm going to have to dig it up. And I'm going to have to get some of the roots down there underneath the ground and send it off and have it analyzed and checked out just to make no. If it produces apples, it's an apple tree.
Right.
Amen? A Christian should know they're saved because of fruit in their life. Amen. Know, many times in the New Testament, speaks of experiential knowledge. Being saved, my friend, is an experience. Let me say something right here real quick. Be careful of comparing your experience to somebody else's experience. Be careful about that. Because although salvation is an experience, the details of that experience may be different with different people. Somebody stand up and say, well, I was driving down the road and God got in the car with me and it got so foggy I couldn't see. I had to pull over and I got out under an ivy tree or an ivy bush, wallowed in the ditch for 2.5 hours, and I finally got saved. Somebody in the back would stand up and say, well, you know what? I didn't get under an ivy bush. I must not got saved. I didn't wallow in a ditch for 2.5 hours. I may have not got saved. God didn't get in the car with me. I must have not got saved. You see what I'm talking about? We need to be leery and be careful of how we tell the details about our salvation, though it's real to us, and it probably no doubt happened to us. Some others may not have had some of those details in their life, and then they're going to start wondering, well, did I get saved? Am I saved? Amen. Now, salvation is an experience. Some of the basics are going to be true in everybody's life. Are you listening? Some of the basics are going to be true with everybody. Jude tells us it's a common salvation. That is, there's only one salvation. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, if anybody gets saved, one salvation. That's all they are. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There's one salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Just one way. Just one way. There's not a Baptist way and a charismatic way and a Jehovah's Witness way and a Mormon way and a Buddha way and a Muslim way. No, there's only one way. And that's Jesus.
Right.
The only one way. But we can know we're saved. The basics is the Spirit of God bring conviction upon everybody that gets saved. Why would you want to get saved if you're not convicted? Amen? I mean, if you're not convicted, the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and showing you you're a transgressor, that you're a lawbreaker of God's law, and the wages of that sin is death. Why would you want to be saved if you're not guilty? I'm talking about the basics. There's conviction in everybody that gets saved. No conviction, no conversion. Of course, we have to be careful even at that. I don't want to confuse everybody. We have to be careful even at that. Because we'll look at people and we think conviction will be expressed in certain ways. Well, they're not convicted. They're not crying 5 gallons of tears per minute. They may be under conviction and just don't cry. I've seen some cry a bushel of tears and never even came back to church. I thought surely if anybody got it, they got it. And it was evident they didn't get nothing. Because there was no fruit there. Amen. On the other hand, I've seen people get saved that didn't cry and they stuck with it. But there'll be conviction. There'll be the work of the Spirit. There'll be repentance. There'll be repentance, friend, from sin. And there'll be faith exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, you can know. Know speaks of an experiential knowledge. I want to say this. Though the word know means to realize, you cannot realize what is not real. You cannot realize what is real. If it's not there, you can't make it there. You can't think it there. You can't hope it there. If it's not there, it's not there. If it is there, it is there. Talking about salvation. Amen. If you have to ask someone else what happened to you, then nothing happened to you. It ought to be real to you. I was thinking this morning while I was getting ready. Everything about my first birth, I had to get that second-handed information. Everything. Who the doctor was, where the what hospital it was, what day it was, what time it was, what year it was, how long I was, how much I weighed, on and on and on. Everything I know about my first birth, I had to get that second-handed information. The mom had to tell me, daddy had to tell me, doctor had to tell me, something had to tell me. But that's not true on my second birth.
Amen.
I didn't have to ask mama. I didn't have to get a second opinion. I didn't have to get second-handed information. I was there when it happened. Thank God. I got saved knowingly. I got saved. My eyes was open. I knew what was happening. I made an on-purpose decision, brother, to follow the Lord and to get saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Salvation is an experience. Is it real to you this morning that you know the Lord? If you're saved, you've had a new birth. If you can go back in your life, and we've said this a lot right around here lately, but if you can go back in your life and not find a place and a point and a time in your life that God brought you under conviction, showed you was a sinner, showed you was in trouble with God, showed you had a sin debt that you couldn't pay, and you was in trouble with God, and God did business with you, you did business with God, then you're not saved. A lot of people just starts going to church and being religious. That ain't salvation. That's not salvation. Salvation's a birth. Salvation is a beginning.
Amen.
Is there a place in your life that you can go back to that you knew God did a work in your heart?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can tell God did a work if He's still a working. God, listen, Bible said, I believe it's Ecclesiastes, whatsoever God doeth is everlasting, is perfect, and it is eternal. God doesn't do a work that's going to last 2 days or 6 weeks or a month. If He ever started a good work, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. While this crowd around Rogersville that I'm talking to, my friend, that claims to be backslid, that hadn't been to church in 15 years, my friend don't have no desire for God, don't read the Bible, living in sin, shacked up, my friend, all kinds of stuff, but yet they'll tell you they're saved. How can you prove that from the Word of God? I can prove that it didn't get it. From the Scriptures. Amen? That's right. Are you saved this morning? Do you know that for a fact today? Here's another place that in Luke 24 this word know is used. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. This is the story of the two on the road to Emmaus. But this word know is used here. In verse number 31. And notice what it said, and their eyes were opened, and here it is, and they knew Him, Jesus. See, before that point, Jesus was walking with them in the way, He was talking with them, and they did not know or realize that it was Him. But when their eyes were opened, it became real to them. It was realized that it was Him. In other words, to know something, your eyes has got to be open to it. You got to be able to see something. There's got to be evidence there that was Him. And they said, oh, we know it's Him. Our eyes are open. Brother, listen, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He spake with us in the way? So, oh, we know who He is because our eyes have been opened and we know Him. We know Him. It ought to be real to you that you're saved.
Amen.
It ought to be clear to you that you're saved. Amen. Just as their eyes was opened and it became clear to them who He was, if your spiritual eyes has ever been opened, my friend, it ought to be real to you who He is and what He has done in your life. Do you know this morning that you're saved? Amen. Do you know that you're saved? Realized. Amen. Another place this word is used, turn to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. In verse number 33, this is the miracle of the woman with the issue of blood that had spent all that she had. She tried all these many physicians and tried to be made better. And she had made the declaration that if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole, there in verse 28. And then it comes on down there in verse number 30, and Jesus immediately, let's look back up here. Let's just read it. When she had heard of Jesus, verse 27, came in the press behind and touched His garment. And she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And watch this. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Here comes the verse. But the woman fearing and trembling, what's the next word? Knowing what was done in her. It was real to her. She knew what had been taking place in her, inside of her. Amen. And it shows us how she knows it. Because she said the fountain of her blood was dried up. In other words, what she was before the touch, she no longer was after the touch. Amen. The problem was taken care of. The issue was solved by the touch of the Master. And brother, listen, she knew what was done in her. Listen, if you're saved today, I believe that it can be known, it can be real, it can be realized that you're saved. Eternity's too long to go into it hoping and wishing and wondering. There's people that I know and people you know that are holding on to some little flimsy profession. A little something, you know, that, you know, and they're hanging on to that. Lord, I'm not talking about missing an opportunity to go on vacation. I'm talking about eternity without end. Forever and ever. I mean, listen. Why would anybody want to hang on to what that Bible would not verify? But Dave, you testifying this morning about different ones, relatives or whatever, that they claim something. They claim to be saved. But Brother David said, I wouldn't bank on that. I wouldn't want to put no confidence in that. I wouldn't want to put no confidence in nothing that Bible wouldn't support. I want God to tell me I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen. An individual in a church, one of their families, one of their relatives, they claim to be saved. Never go to church. Don't have no heart for God. I mean, just living a life of a lost person. But yet, if you ask that individual, "Are you saved?" and the daddy is standing around, before that individual can open his mouth, the daddy will say, "Yeah, he got saved at a little church right up the road here." Don't ever answer for nobody else. You can't answer for nobody else. You don't know if they're saved. I'd hate to have a child that in reality is lost, but he wouldn't get saved because I kept telling him he is saved and he split hell wide open. I would have to bear that in my life throughout eternity. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? You don't know. You don't know about somebody else. Amen. You don't know. And I don't know. The only one I know saved is me. It's real to me that I'm saved. It's real to me. I'm not imagining. I'm not dreaming. I'm not just made it up. I'm telling you, it's real to me that I am saved. And I don't have to go back 26 years ago to find that. There, like I said, if He started the work 26 years ago in my life when I got saved, and He's still a working, I can go off of the fact He's still a working to know that He started a work. Amen. Some people around Rogersville, they've got a day, but they don't have a life. Y'all heard me say that. I'm going to say it again. A lot of people's claiming a day, claim they've got a birthday, claim they've had a day, they got saved, but there's no life. It didn't produce a life. Would you want to trust that to take you to heaven when you die? I wouldn't. Amen. But on the other hand, like my wife had the life, but didn't have the day. Miss Caritha had the light, but didn't have the day. Are you listening? Are you saved? Do you know? Is it real to you that you're saved? Young people, you ought to know that you're saved. Amen? You can know it. You can know that you're saved. Listen to this verse right here right quick. I'm going to try to bring it to a close. Listen to this verse. 1 John chapter 5. It's just to show you that this thing about knowing you're saved is in God's Word. 1 John 5. And by the way, the word know in the book of 1 John is one of the key words In five chapters, it is used as know, knoweth, or known 37 times. In five little chapters. So the whole book of 1 John is really given to the assurance of salvation. There ought to be enough evidence in those five chapters to show you whether you are or are not saved. But I want to show you that that's the purpose for those five chapters of that little small book of 1 John. 1 John 5:13. These things, he's coming to the close of his letter now, he's coming to the close of these five chapters, and he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." He said, "I'm writing to you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." He said, "I'm writing this so that you that believe can know that you're saved." Amen. We know that we've passed from death unto life. Can a man that was dead raised to life know it? Answer that. Can a man that was dead be resurrected to life? Can he do that and not know it? Does he have to ask somebody? Would it be real to him? When Lazarus was raised from dead and came out of that tomb, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Was it real to him? When Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son back to life, was it real to him? When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter back to life, and she sat up in the bed and asked for something to eat, was it real to her? Is it real to you? It ought to be. It can be. And you should want it to be. If I'm dependent on being saved to go to heaven forever and ever and ever, then I want to make sure I'm saved. We need to make sure and examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ is in you. Amen? Amen. Well, we can look at other verses. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just stop right there. I'm going to deal with another thing later on, but not this morning. Let's bow our hearts and heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to this invitation on time. Lord, it ought to be real to us. And it is real to me, Lord, that I am saved. Lord, that I've gotten more reasons, Lord, that brings about that realness than I've got time to deal with, Lord, in this service. Lord, it is real to me because I've seen what happened in my life and what is happening in my life can be found in the Scripture. Produced in my life by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that authored the Word of God is the same Holy Spirit that is in the believer. Lord, that same Holy Spirit that was instrumental in giving the Word of God is the same Holy Spirit that will produce what's in this Bible in our life if we're saved. And we can know. It can be real, realized. It can be a fact that we're saved. Lord, I pray you help people to examine themselves, see whether they be in the faith. Prove their own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll take the message this morning and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You play softly. Altar's open this morning. If you need some help this morning, if God's dealing with you this morning, I'd get in this old-fashioned altar. Is it real to you? Has the Spirit of God and the Scriptures confirmed to you that you know Christ? It bothers me, and I'll just be honest with you, it bothers me to see people get tore all to pieces about being saved. And then once they pray that prayer, they seemingly give very little attention to that ever again in their life. Something's wrong with that. I've been here almost 16 years, and I've seen several people that was tore all to pieces and crying, wanting to be saved. And once they prayed, once they made that little profession, they give very little attention to God or the Bible or spiritual things thereafter. I wouldn't want to trust that 5 seconds. I wouldn't want to trust that to take me to the grocery store, much less to take me to heaven. If God started a work in you, He's still working on you. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How about it, dear friend? Would you come?